Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast.
How many of you have ever been lost? Like lost. Good, I'm proud of you. I thought I was going to have to get the wives to admit that the husbands had been lost because I didn't think the husbands were going to admit it. We've all had that feeling, right? We've all been lost. A few years ago, I was lost. And not sort of lost, like desperately afraid for my life, lost. I was with Eric Colquitt. Many of you know Eric. Eric Colquitt. And we were going to, now don't get this part, we were going to his house in Alabama. Not a house that he had just moved into, but his house that he had grown up in. We were going to his house that he'd grown up in. And we got lost. I was driving, and he was, I'm going to put it in quotes, navigating. And, you know, he says, okay, this is our exit. We're on 20, so this is the exit. So we go, and about 10 minutes into the, you know, post-exit drive, Eric kind of starts going, this doesn't quite look right. And I'm like, what do you mean this? What? It was very dark, but again, he lived there since he was like four. He said, this is dark. I don't recognize this. And I'm like, what? And he kept saying, maybe I do, maybe I don't. And then about 10 minutes in, he finally goes, dude, I don't know where we are. And so we pull over into this gas station, and we do what any self-respecting male does in that situation. We get out our phones, and we try to look at a map. But we're in the backwoods of Alabama. There ain't no signal. And so what I got through my very, very slow edge cell service, if you have an iPhone, you know what that means. It's when the E comes up and there ain't nothing there. We got like a corner of a map and a lot of spinning. All we could determine was we are in the wrong place. And so Eric's like, well, I think we go that way. And I'm like, man, are you serious? And so we go driving through, and folks, we entered into another dimension on this drive. I honestly, like, we were in a black hole. It has never been darker anywhere on the planet than it was on the back roads of rural Alabama. I mean, there was no street light. I'm not sure they had running water. I mean, it was insane. All you could hear in the distance was a faint. I thought I was going to die. So we kept going, and eventually we're going down these roads, and Eric goes, oh, hey, I know that restaurant. I know the restaurant. It's the Fish Camp. And I was like, are you sure? Yes, I know the restaurant. I know where we are. And we both kind of went, phew. Me because I wasn't going to die, him because I wasn't going to fire him. And so everybody was like, okay. And it took us about 10 or 15 more minutes to get to his house. But the second he saw that the restaurant called the Fish Camp, yeah, we'll talk about that later, we knew where we were. And I tell that story because I think we've all had the same experience. It's all shared experience of being lost, being panicked, and then we either see something we recognize, or we stop and get really good directions, or our phone finally starts working, and something changes, and we now know where we're headed. And if you ever have that happen, you know you don't feel better when you reach the destination. You feel better the second you know you're headed in the right direction. Right? There's a relief. It's like, oh, thank goodness, I'm not lost anymore. All right, well, I want you to remember that story in light of what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the last week of Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness. We're wrapping up the series today. And what we've done for this entire series is kind of talked about this thing we called the American Dream. And I've argued that this thing we called the American Dream, this idea that we've been promised life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, it's a great thing. But I don't really think it's an American Dream. I think we call it American Dream. I think it's a promise from God. I think God has promised us life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So we started week one talking about how God promised us the life, the right to life. And God said, I declare you have the right to life. And we talked about week one about how when we were born enemies of God. We were born rebels of God. We were born distrusting God, and that puts sin on us, and God has to destroy sin, and which means we were actually born with a death sentence. And that's not fun to talk about, but we were. But that's why Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ came to take our death sentence, and when he died on the cross, he took it away. God took the death sentence that was due us and punished his son for it so that we could live, so that we could have a life with God. And so all you have to do to accept the right to life is accept what Jesus did for you. That was week one. And last week we talked about our right to liberty, the right God gives us to walk in limited freedom. Because complete and total freedom isn't good for us. It would be complete and total chaos. And I used the illustration last week of trying to walk through a field with landmines in it. That's kind of what complete and total freedom is. It's us walking through a field filled, that's difficult to say, with landmines. And what God says is, God says, hey, you're going to walk through this field. It's got landmines in it. They might blow you up, but hey, I have the map. And I have a suggested path for you to take that's going to help you navigate this landmine field, and it's going to protect you, and it's going to keep you safe. And so that's what liberty is. That's what God offers us. He offers us the ability to walk in this limited freedom, this protection from danger. And within that protection, we're free to do whatever we want. And that brings us to week three. That brings us to our pursuit of happiness. Because really, the pursuit of happiness is just an extension of rights one and two. The American dream really revolves around the pursuit of happiness. The reason we want the right to life, we want to be protected from people taking our life. The reason we want the right to liberty, we don't want people telling us what to do, we want to do whatever we want, is because we think, well, if no one can harm me, and if I can do whatever I want, that's going to produce happiness. And I'm going to be able to pursue happiness, and it's going to make me happy. And that's why people have come here, because, you know, they were in other countries and there were social restrictions or there were legal restrictions that was going to hold them back. So they came here because here and there in America, I have the right to life, I have the right to liberty, and I have the right to pursue happiness. And that's how we've always taken the American dream. A plus B equals C. Leave me alone. Don't tell me what to do. Let me do what I want and I'll be happy. And see, I think God looks at us and he says, oh, that's so cute. Oh, look at them. They're trying. They're trying to figure it out. See, I think God would actually say, you know, like kind of like last week, you've got the words right. You've kind of got the sentiment, but you missed the real point. I think God would say, the reason I sent my son to pay the penalty for you was to give you life. And the reason I wanted to give you that life was because I then wanted to give you liberty, the ability to walk in limited freedom. I wanted to be able to protect you from the dangers out there, because when you take the life I've given you and the protection I've given you, it's going to lead to the best life possible for you. It's going to lead to your ability to experience true, lasting contentment, happiness, joy, peace, whatever you want to say. People get real weird when I say happiness because they're like, well, you're not always happy. And I know that that's true, but the actual definition of happiness is just a true and lasting contentment. And that's what God offers. God offers you can be content in any circumstance. Through the highs and the lows, you can be content because you can rest in the fact that God's walking with you. Doesn't mean things won't be terrible at times. Doesn't mean tragedies won't happen. But it just means you know you'll never be going through them alone. And see, that's what God offers. God offers that. And I think God would say to us today, if happiness is what you want, that's where you want to be. If happiness is your goal, which, come on, at the end of the day, that's everybody's goal, right? We all want to be happy. God would say, if happiness is your goal, holiness is your path. If happiness is your goal, holiness is your path. And I lost some of you because holiness is a church word. So let me explain it to you. Holiness simply means following the map God gives you. Holiness simply means I'm going to do everything I can to live the way God wants me to live and not live the way the world wants me to live. Holiness means set apart. So the more your life can be apart from the things you think are right or things society thinks are right and more in line with what God wants for you, the more likely it is your life's going to actually result in true, lasting contentment, peace, happiness. I think that's what God would say. God would say, if you want happiness, you must pursue holiness. And see, that's real easy to say, right? That's easy for me to get up here to say as a preacher. It's easy for you to sit in that chair and nod your head, especially when I use an example like a field with landmines in it. Like, there's nobody in their right mind that would say, no, I'd rather walk through the field full of landmines by myself. No, there's not a one of you that wouldn't say, I'll take the map. So that's almost a cheat illustration. Like, I confess that. It's a little manipulative, a little on the nose. I know a lot of you are parents in the room. And so I bring up parents a lot because you do this a lot with your kids. You make rules for them they don't like, they don't understand, they want to complain about, but we both know it's for their protection, right? For some reason, my 2-year-old wants nothing more than play in the middle of the road. Well, he can't because he would die. And so we stop it. We say, no, you can't do that. He doesn't get it. And see, when I say that, you relate to me and you say, yeah, I get it. But if it was as simple as a field full of landmines and parenting, right, none of us would ever sin. None of us would ever make mistakes. We wouldn't have to have these conversations, right? So we know it's more difficult than that. We know actually following God, actually doing what he wants can be difficult. But why? Why is it such a struggle? Why is it so hard for intelligent men and women to know up here God has my best interest at heart? Yes, making these decisions can cause pain and destruction for me, but I'm going to do it anyway because it feels good. Why do we do that? Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever wondered why we struggle so much? See, I think it's because we don't really believe that it's possible to walk through life without that pain. I don't think we really believe it's possible to walk through life avoiding the landmines. See, I think we've convinced ourselves, we've kind of made this deal with ourselves and the devil and others, or whoever you want to say, we've kind of made this deal, all right? We kind of have this accepted reality that all pleasure produces a little pain. And we're okay with it. We've just kind of decided, well, that's what happens. If we're going to pursue this pleasure, there's going to be some pain involved too. And so our pursuit of pleasure, our pursuit of happiness actually becomes pain management. How much pain can I take to pursue this pleasure? I want the pleasure of all this new stuff. Now, I'm not dumb. I know I can't afford it. So I'm going to fill my credit cards up with all this debt. I might try to forget about it, but I know it's there. I'm not crazy. But I want the pleasure of the stuff now, and I'll deal with the pain of the debt later. I know that going out and getting so drunk that I can't walk straight is going to lead to some pain. I've done it before. I'll do it again. I'm speaking as you, by the way. I'm not speaking as me. It's happened. Like, you're not dumb. You know when you take the first drink, it's going to feel good for a while, and then it's going to feel awful. But you still do it because you've convinced yourself that pleasure comes with pain, and you're just going to manage that pain later. You're not dumb. You know that the affair is a terrible idea. You know there's going to be pain involved. You know it. But it's okay because of the pleasure you're receiving in the moment. Same thing can be said for pornography. Same thing can be said for drug addictions. You're intelligent people. You know there's pain on the other side. You've just bought into the lie that all pleasure comes with pain. And you've just said, well, I'll just manage it. I'll just manage the pain. Because what I want is the pleasure. See, the reason I called sin a landmine, the reason I used that illustration last week and this week, is because all sin hurts. All decisions to go away from God hurt. Now, let me be clear. They may not hurt you. But all sin hurts someone. All sin causes pain. You may say, hey, man, I've been stealing for 5 years. I've never been caught. That's fine, but you've hurt a lot of people while you've been stealing. And I would dare to say, you still feel guilty about it. You still feel shame for it. And if you don't, you're a sociopath. You need help. If you don't have a conscience, we got to talk to a professional now. Turn out like Dexter. Hey, I got some people watch. I don't watch that show. I've just heard about it. The point is, there's no such thing as a victimless sin. All sin hurts somebody. All sin has negative consequences, physical, mental, emotional, relational. And we've just accepted it. We've just bought into the lie that all pleasure comes with pain. So I'll just manage the pain. I know tomorrow morning is going to be awful, but I'm willing to endure that to feel like this for just a moment. And see, what you're chasing is leading you directly into landmines, and it's destroying your life. And God looks at you and he says, it doesn't have to be this way. That's not right. God says, you can have pleasure without the pain. It's possible. It's what I intended for you all along, is to have the joys of life, the pleasures of life, free from the pain of life. See, following God's ways, if you pursue holiness in your path to happiness, if you pursue that, you know what pleasure leads to? It's going to blow your mind. You know what pleasure leads to in God's plan? You know what pleasure leads to? More pleasure. You get the pleasure without the pain. That's what God's plan is. Following his way is pleasure with more pleasure. Now, I got to make a big caveat here, because you say that and people are like, whoa, 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 Jack, wait a minute. Wait a minute. So you're saying if I follow God, I'm never going to get sick. I'm never going to have bad things happen to me. No, it's not what I'm saying. No, no. Evil exists in the world. Bad things happen. I'm talking strictly about the repercussions of your decisions to pursue pleasure. Right now, you pursue pleasure knowing pain's coming. When you pursue holiness in your quest for happiness, you can pursue pleasure knowing it's only going to lead to more pleasure. It's only going to lead to more peace. It's only going to lead to more contentment. Can you imagine a Friday night where you never even have to worry about what tomorrow morning is going to be like? Can you imagine making decisions and not being horrified of the repercussions in a week? Not already preparing yourself for the guilt, shame, and regret that's coming your way? You know it is, because you've been down this road before. See, that's what God offers. That's what God says is possible. So how do we do it? How do we pursue holiness in our quest for happiness? Well, the good thing is, I don't have to tell you how, because we've established this multiple times. I don't know. What I do is I turn to God's word. And today we're going to look at a guy. His name's Solomon. Many people call him one of the wisest men that ever lived. He wrote several books in our Old Testament. He wrote a book called the Book of Proverbs, which is just a bunch of wise sayings, just little nuggets for life. And in the third chapter of the Book of Proverbs, Solomon kind of just lays out the whole thing. It's almost like this is what this entire book is going to be about. And for us today, it's this. It's if you want happiness, if you want true contentment, if you want the life God intended for you, this is how you do it. Simply follow these steps. Pursue this, and God's best will be the result. It's in Proverbs 3. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to it. If not, it's going to be up on the screen. In Proverbs 3, it's two verses. If you had any church background as a kid, you've probably heard these verses before. If you maybe went to Bible school as a kid, you probably were taught this. That's why I'm using this verse, because I hope it kind of stirs something up in you, that you remember it from before, because it's so simple, yet so powerful. How do we pursue holiness in our quest for happiness? This is the answer. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So simple. So true. And my prayer today is that it's life-changing. That's really what I hope. I want to go back through these verses one by one. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. You get this, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Trust God, not yourself. But that doesn't make sense to me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Yeah, but that doesn't feel right. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not depend on your own understanding. Let's go back to our illustration. You're in the minefield. Trust the map. And in that illustration, we'd all trust the map, right? Nobody's thinking, well, I know the map says there's a landmine right there, but I'm just not feeling it. That just seems judgmental to tell me there's a landmine right there. This book was written 3,000 years ago. How could they possibly have known in modern day society what was going to happen? I'm just going to... Whoops. See, that's why I think we should follow the map, folks. Because we all run the landmine field. And we are walking through it. And we all have eyes. And we've all seen people that are following the map and people that aren't following the map. I have these great, great friends. They have 4 kids. 2 of them are teenagers. I can't tell you how many times I've heard another couple utter these words. I would give anything for my kids to turn out like them. And I want to just shake those people and say, do you think it was an accident? They followed the map. They simply did what God told them to do in raising their children. It's not rocket science. It's mapology. Just follow the map. But we see people who haven't followed the map. We see people who say, I know more than you, God. You're dumb. I know you say this is rest, but you're crazy. You're an old dude, and I'm going to do what I want. And they blow up their lives. Come on, folks. We live in Myrtle Beach. Thought I'd get a bigger laugh. Maybe that was a little touchy. Maybe I hurt some toes there. I believe there are more landmine casualties in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina than the rest of the state combined. And I love it. I love the fact that God's called me here because we can heal those people. We can do some work. But you see it. You know it's happened. And see, what we want to say is oh, no. That was just them. That won't happen to me. I'm smarter than that. I'm going to handle my stuff better than that. And that's why Solomon pleads, do not lean on your own understanding. Other translations, they actually say, lean not on your own understanding. I'm sorry, Solomon says, do not depend. Other translations say, lean not on your own understanding. And I love this idea of leaning. Because that's what we do, right? We lean. We rely on other things to give ourselves some rest. And I think what Solomon is trying to point out here is every decision you make leans on something. Every decision you make relies on something. It's either your intellect, your friend's rationale, a magic eight ball, Dr. Phil and Oprah. I think even the Survivor guy has a show now. Don't take his advice, please, whatever you do. You're making your decisions leaning on something. Someone is the foundation for every decision you make. All Solomon's trying to say is, why don't you make the person upon whom you base your decisions the only one who knows where the issues are? The only one who actually knows the future. The only one who's ever sacrificed their son's life for you. Why not just trust that guy? That's all he's saying. Just trust that guy. He knows where the landmines are. Just trust him. How do we do that? How do we learn to trust God? How do we learn to know what God wants us to do? It's the second verse. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. In other words, you need to make your decisions according to God's principles and not your desires. I'll say that again. You need to make decisions based on God's principles and not your desires. When you desire a certain form of pleasure, when you desire something that's going to make you feel good, if you are trying to follow God, I guarantee you, he is speaking to you. And there's a voice that says, stop it. You know there is. Now, if you ignore it enough, it gets quieter and quieter. But there's that voice. Stop it. Shouldn't do this. You know this isn't good for you. Stop it. Warning, warning, landmine, landmine. Stop it. I have an incredibly profound truth for you today. When you hear that voice, stop. Have a good week. No, I'm just kidding. Just stop. Stop. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Now, this is a lifelong process, but it begins with one choice. It begins with one decision. It begins with one step to say, all right, God, I'm going to choose to pursue holiness in my path to happiness. I'm going to choose to obey you and to not do what I think is going to make me feel good. I'm going to trust your principles, and I'm going to leave the results up to you. You have to take those steps. You have to. And I want to tell you right now, that one step can change your life. But when you take the first step, it's not going to feel like it changed your life. You know why? Because there's no alarm for an avoided landmine. There's no sensor that goes off for that. As God navigates you around the landmine, nothing says, boop, you just missed a landmine. You almost blew your life up. Congratulations. Nothing happens. But as you continue to trust God, as you continue to pursue holiness in your quest for happiness, you begin to navigate around more landmines. And eventually your brain starts to change. You start to realize, well, I'm still having fun. I'm still laughing. I'm still experiencing pleasure. I'm still experiencing joy. But the pain that usually comes with the pleasure is gone. I don't have these negative consequences I was used to my choices. I don't wake up every other morning with guilt and shame and look myself in the mirror and say, never again. Yeah, you don't have to do that anymore. Because you're following God. And because he's protecting you from those bad choices. He's protecting you from those bad decisions. And so the more you listen to God and the more you avoid pain, the more you experience pleasure without the pain, and the more you trust God. Think about our example of the field with the landmine. You know, the dude gives you the map. Once you got to the other side of the field and the dude said, oh, I've got another map, would you take it or not? No, you would trust that guy with your life, right? That's what God wants for you. That's his whole plan. That's his whole purpose. Was to send his son to buy you the right to life, to give you guidelines to protect you on this life, in the hope that you would accept his gift, you would follow his guidelines, and you would walk through this life experiencing exactly what he wants for you. Truly knowing how to pursue happiness. And how do we do that? It all starts with a single choice. Pursue holiness in your quest for happiness. Pursue holiness in your quest for happiness. God's given you the right to pursue happiness. He's given it to you. It is your gift. It is your right. Take it. Don't settle for anything less. Stop managing pain. And pursue holiness in your quest for happiness. Stop rationalizing. Stop saying, well, I'll stop tomorrow. It's not that bad. It'll be okay. They just don't understand. Stop it. Stop it. Pursue holiness in your quest for happiness. And every person in the room today can begin that journey. Because I know some of you say, whoa, no, man, I'm too far gone. I've lost too many limbs to landmines. I'm surrounded by landmines. I wouldn't even know where to start. I don't know the way. I'm lost. Well, as I said at the beginning, we've all had the same experience, right? We've all been lost before. We've all felt confused. We've all had no idea where to go. And then what happens? You discover the path. It doesn't mean you reach the destination yet. It doesn't mean you even are even close to the destination. But just knowing you're on the right path can change everything. That's your chance today. That's the beauty of God, man. It don't matter where you've been. It don't matter what's happened before. You can get your life on the right track, on the right path today, right now. How? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. That's His offer to every one of you in the room today. It's your right as a human being. It's a right He sent His Son to die for. So don't you settle for anything less than God's absolute best for your life. Here's my challenge. Pursue holiness in your quest for happiness. And only you know what that means. Only you know what decisions you need to make today. Only you know what steps you need to take today. God may be giving you a step of obedience in your home. You need to step up at home. Maybe there's an unethical thing at work that's happening and God's asking you to step up and stop it. Maybe there's an obedience issue. God's been asking you to invite your neighbor to church and you're afraid to do it. God's been telling you to stop looking at that stuff on the internet. God's been telling you to stop having that conversation on Facebook. And you're like, oh God, but it feels good. It feels good. But we both know how it's going to end, right? Let's be adults here. We know how it's going to end. It's going to end in pain. It is. Let today be the day God navigates you around your very first landmine. Pursue holiness in your quest for happiness. And the result is guilt-free, shame-free, regret-free living. And true happiness, true peace, true joy, true contentment, like you've never imagined. Pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much just for who you are. I thank you that you are so clear with us and you are so loving. Father, I thank you that you saw fit not only to save our lives, but to then give us the game plan, to give us the map for how to walk through our lives. I thank you that you thought enough of us to protect us, to try to keep us safe, and that you designed a path for our lives to produce the best life possible for us. We don't deserve it. God, I pray right now as we close that you will just instill in our hearts a determination to pursue holiness in our quest for happiness. that we'll lay down our swords. We'll stop fighting you. We'll surrender to you. We'll say, yes, you know best. You are smarter. You are better. Show us the way. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.